Hey, we didn't take an offering today. If you came with an offering, DJ is going to have a bag and hold it there in the back corner there at the end of the service. If you brought something, we will gladly accept it. All right. And since half our group is gone or more, I decided to do the very best sermon I could possibly do today for you guys. So I'm excited about being in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Oh, we're out of Romans 9, 10, and 11. Phew. And we're into something good. I mean, it was great being in those chapters. But boy, I'm so excited to be in Romans 12, 1 and 2. So if you have your Bible, please turn there. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for helping us today. Here's something to think about. Tell me what you think of this. You'll never change your life until you change the way you think. That's going to be a real focus of what we talk about today. You may want to get out of poverty, for example. So, I need money. I want to get out of poverty. But in reality, you've got this mentality, this thinking that says, I'll always need to depend on someone or something to cover me, to take care of me. And so that thinking is wrong and you can't change your life, right? You'll never change your life until you change the way you think. You may want to quit smoking. You may want to lose weight. But until you're truly motivated or have a deep reason, you're not going to succeed. We all know that, right? You'll never change your life until you change the way you think. You may want to not look at the internet porn. I knew this would be mostly guys here today. We may want to not look at it, but until you're truly motivated or have a deep reason, we'll never succeed at that either. Because you'll never change your life until you change the way you think. So you change the way you think. I want to be able to see this a little bit better. Awesome. So that's why I've titled today, Changing the Way I Think. Do you want to change your life for the better? I know all of you would say yes, but do you really? Or if you're really more honest with yourself, would you rather just change the circumstances around your life? Is that what you'd rather change than your actual life? I mean, I want my circumstances to change. But boy, but it's tougher when you say, I want to actually change my life. That's a whole different story, isn't it? We all want healthier relationships. Like a better job, better pay, a better position, a better environment. We want to feel happy. All these things, and none of those things are bad, but it is this idea that we expect our circumstances to change, and we believe that it will change us for the better. For example, how many of you have thought or said out loud, and I've heard some of you, if only I could win the lottery, it'd all be okay. Pastor, you're going to get a big offering when that ad day happens, right? I hear that all the time. It's so funny. It's great. Haven't seen it yet. And I'm not even sure I want it. I never say it because I've never put any money in yet. So, but it's that idea of, oh, if only my circumstances would change, then my life would be better. But I'm saying you'll never change your life until you change the way you think. So do you want to rise above your circumstances and see your life really change? God will transform our lives. He really will. As we change our thinking, but he's going to do it through us instead of just directly for us. He wants us to be a part of it. He gives us the ability. He gives us the charge. He gives us the power to be able to change. Before we get into our verse in Romans, check out this great verse. This is the one that says, work out your salvation. You may have heard that before. The New Living says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, that's exactly what it means. It's not that we're working for salvation. We're working through our sanctification part, right? And we're learning to obey God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you. And he's giving you the desire to obey him. He's giving you the power to obey him and to work hard. So we can do what pleases him. I love that. God gives us these things so that we truly can change if we're ready. Sometimes I feel like my desires are opposite of my reality. I have wishes, I have dreams, but my reality looks a lot different. And it's kind of like putting a square peg into a round hole sometimes. It just feels like it just doesn't work. It doesn't fit. And sometimes my want to, sometimes my hope to, it just doesn't fit with my reality. And I get frustrated. And sometimes people get numb and they give up. They just get so tired of the constant defeat of their circumstances that they just give up and just kind of do this circular losing lifestyle mentality. Our key point today, see if this makes sense to you. It's kind of like a math formula, all right? So help me out here, Ellis. Biblical truth or biblical principles without or minus biblical thinking results in or equals short-term obedience sometimes, but always long-term frustration. So I kind of this is our main point, and I'm kind of making it a negative. That's really bad. But the opposite is also true. But if I have right biblical thinking along with the truth of biblical principles, I am guaranteed, I'm promised in God's word for long-term obedience and joy. But usually the way our lives go, usually the way we live, is we get convicted. I go, oh, I'm such a loser. I'm such a sinner. I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to get better. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to say that anymore. I'm going to change. And maybe you have success because you have good willpower or, you know, that kind of thing. Success for a little while. But then what always happens, you always kind of go back and you get more and more frustrated. But that short-term obedience doesn't do us much good, does it? We're looking for that long-term change. So here's the key point today. Biblical truth without biblical teaching is only short-term obedience and long-term frustration. I don't know about you, but I sometimes catch myself thinking, I think just like the world thinks sometimes. I hate to admit that. I'm your pastor. But like for example, sometimes I get jealous. Can you believe that? That me, after all these times, I would get jealous. But I have pastor friends who are younger than me, better looking than me, speak better than I do. I'm sure of it. Some of their congregations are growing better or faster than ours. And there's times when I look at them and I'm talking to them, and all of a sudden, deep inside, I go, oh, I just want to give you a punch right in the nose. You know, I just, I'm so jealous of what God's doing in their lives. I'm so jealous of their youth and, the, you know, different. And where does that come from? What in the world is going on there? That's not me. I know better. But see, it's sometimes I know those biblical principles. I know how I'm supposed to live. I know what the fruit of the Spirit are, but it doesn't fit with my actual thinking. It doesn't fit with my thinking. And I need a transformation of my thinking. That's what's going on. So let's say that you're a Christ follower and you get convicted about your lifestyle and you get challenged to change certain things. And you might obey for a little while. You might actually do that. For a little while, you'll be good. And you might have success with your willpower. But if your thinking isn't in sync with your behavior, you won't ever change. And until you and I learn to think correctly, we won't behave correctly. And that brings us to Romans 12, 1 and 2. That's exactly what Paul is saying here. Truth, biblical truth, biblical principles, and biblical thinking need to be together in sync. And then change will happen. Okay, that's the formula. Look at the first part. Here's the truths. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay, there is a principle to live by, correct? Thank goodness it's not a dead sacrifice. Get it? You actually get to be alive through this. You get to stay alive. You don't have to die. You don't have to commit suicide, all right? It's a living sacrifice. But this idea, like Old Testament worship, you're supposed to actually be like the lamb. Go on the altar, offer yourself as a sacrifice that's pleasing to God. That's the picture here. And then he says, don't conform to the patterns of the world. Okay, there's another principle. Don't do that. But rather, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your minds. And that is think biblical thinking. Your mind is renewed and transformed. And then it fits. Your biblical principles and your biblical thinking fits in order to make you successful at changing and growing and maybe having a little bit of victory over the things that usually defeat us. Does that make sense? Isn't that so super practical, just those first two verses? I don't know how well you know these verses, but I hope you get to know them really well because they're so important to our faith. If you don't know, Romans is at a break point here. We've finished two parts of Romans. But through 1 through 11, I'll just generalize. Paul has been talking about doctrine and teaching, teaching us about salvation, teaching us about the power of the gospel and all the stuff that's going on and how Israel fits and all that. And now verse 12, he goes, therefore, and you know how we say, if there's a therefore, we need to find out what therefore is, therefore, because it usually means, because of all the stuff I've now said, here's where we're going now. And he switches now into practical life, into application. And so nails it head on. Let's work on our sanctification. Let's work on our growing into holiness and becoming more like Jesus. Be a living sacrifice. Don't conform. Or I've heard one of the old translations that said, don't fit into the world's mold. Like you're pouring Jell-O into a mold or something like that, and you look just like that mold. It says, don't do that. Don't look like the world looks. You can be different. You can be transformed. Anybody know the Greek word for transformation? Do you remember? It's an awesome word. We know it. Metamorphosis. It's actually the word. Metamorphosis. So like a caterpillar, worm, grub becomes a beautiful butterfly. Metamorphosis, complete change. That's what Paul is challenging us to. It's a renewing of the mind. But we're worldly. People are so worldly around us. I've been really thinking a lot about this. That worldliness isn't so much about things. It's not even so much about what we do. I think worldliness, more than anything else, is about how we think. I've been thinking a lot about our kids that come here on Wednesday nights. Some of the things I'm hearing from the staff about these mostly junior hires, none of them are here so I can talk about them, right? Yeah. Most of them just love gangster rap. I mean, that's all they listen to. They love it. And it is what drives them. It feeds them. They don't respect their parents. They don't respect their teachers. They don't respect a lot of us. But they will... They respect gangster rap, like these guys. That's Lil Wayne. Y'all know who Lil Wayne. Y'all know this, right? Yeah, come on. You love rap, right? You love him. And that's what's her name, Nicki Minaj, whatever. Yeah, I looked up some lyrics. I was trying to find one that I was going to share with you guys, and I would have had to bleep almost half of it. And I felt so scummy after I read a couple of them. I go, I'm not going to do that to you, because it was just disgusting. You know, saying and talking about how they love and their hoes and all this stuff and their guns, and it's all about, you know, it's the power. And our kids think, they look at these guys that are rich and successful and famous because of their stupid. One of the raps had five authors, and it was the biggest piece of crap I've ever read in my life. But five people are getting rich off of this crap, you know. And it's just like, and our kids are looking at this, and I want to be like them. This is who I want to be like. I don't want to be like what God says. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to trust the Bible. I want to trust what these rap stars are saying. And it's that thinking like the world thinks. And it's easy to put that on our kids, but some of us adults and some of us who are older, we're so good at it, we've kind of forgotten even what it looks like of living worldly rather than for the Lord. If you want to stop being worldly, you got to change the way you think. And you do that by renewing your mind. So Mr. Joe Christian, whoever this guy, I found this guy, his name is actually Joe Christian. So I put his face up there. I thought that was clever. Yeah. if you meet him, say hi. Doesn't he? I know. It's great. So Mr., you know, just Joe, I knew there was going to be mostly men here today, so I didn't do Joanna Christian or Josephine. So let's say Joe Christian, that he was doing everything wrong. Even though he would say he's a Christian, you know, he's living bad. He had a horrible girlfriend relationship, had an affair on the side. He was cheating his work. He was growing more and more dependent on drugs and alcohol and just everything that could go wrong, he was doing. And he was struggling. So he finally says, I need to change. That's a good start, right? I need to change. So what did he do? So he started going to church. So he started going to church like every single day. Every night, if there was a program, he's going, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be at every program. And it's not necessarily bad what he's doing, but stay with me for where this guy is at. So I'm just going to go to programs. He started volunteering to serve in different capacities. Man, people were thinking he's the most faithful, loyal Christ follower of them all. And he just kept doing these things. And he actually broke up with his girlfriend. He went forward at church hoping that, you know, there'd just be this instant healing from his past and he would be a new man, and praying for that. And all this stuff happened. But guess what? After a while, he just kind of slowly faded away and kind of went back to his old lifestyle. Why? His heart didn't change. It was all outward, wasn't it? It was all, I mean, we don't know for sure. We're making up who this guy really is. But it was mostly outward things that he was doing to try to be right. He thought that would, the circumstances, those kind of things, that would help. But his heart stayed the same. The roots of his issues weren't touched. Because just by hearing the truth doesn't mean that you're doing the truth. Hear this, guys. Hear this. Listen for you. Just by doing good things doesn't make you a good person. Just by being convicted, that doesn't produce change. Conviction's great. It's a good starting point. But sometimes we just live for the conviction. Oh, I just felt God's power and was weighed on me. And then everything's the same. Move on. But man, until it starts to produce a change on the inside, that's what we need. And that's what Paul's talking about, being transformed, being metamorphosized. A renewal of the mind is something radical. There needs to be a total mind renovation. Look, I have a question for you. Enough of that Joe Christian. I'm tired of looking at him. All right, here's my question. What do you have to do to be conformed to the world? Absolutely nothing. It's automatic, right? The only thing you have to do is get out of bed in the morning. And you can be conformed to the world. I'm not saying you are, but it's that easy. What does it take? It doesn't take anything. It takes something to be have a mind renewed and to follow the Lord, yeah? It doesn't take anything, though, to be conformed to the world. It's automatic. Satan has designed a scheme, a plan. It's a plan of thinking. Like our kids think that the rap stars are the people we should model. They should be our mentors. They think that. They believe it. And Satan has put this deception over all of us to say, hey, you know what? You know, this is better. This is better than God's way. Consider this way. We try to change. We try to change ourselves. But biblical truth without biblical thinking always ends up in a short-term obedience, but not long-term. It's a long-term frustration. You have to proactively renew your mind. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't take this. It's not going to happen in a miracle either. It's going to take some hard work. You have to let God take out that wrong thinking and replace it with the way God thinks. It's transformation. We need to involve ourselves in this daily process of renewing our minds because we have to learn to think like God thinks. That's all. That's all we have to do is to learn to think like God thinks. And over time, your thinking can be renewed. You can do it because your thinking can come in sync with God's thinking. So that answer really is simple. It is simply renewing your mind. It's the application that's a bit of a challenge, all right? Another word for renew is renovation. Anybody ever done any housework on remodeling or renovating your house? We've done it a lot, and we have all the tools. Imagine a house that's just been invaded with termites. Termites have just infested the wooden frame of your house. Imagine that. And so your remedy for termite infestation is to give that house a coat of paint and make it look better on the outside, right? That's the answer, correct? Sometimes that's what, that's so silly, but sometimes with our lives, that's what we do. We've got big root, deep problems, and we think, well, I'll just give myself a coat of paint. And, you know, I'll do something. I'll go to the gym, or I'll go to church, or, you know, something good. And we hope that's going to take care of it. The termites are still there. The root issues are still there. Transformation, renovation, that's what's needed. That's what's needed. It's a lot to do with our attitude. Thinking about attitude, I heard this story about a young boy who, I'm going to put this picture up. It wasn't this boy, he was older. But you get the idea. So about an eight-year-old boy was given the job every day to feed his invalid grandpa lunch. That was his job, one job. Feed your grandpa lunch, because he couldn't feed himself. The grandpa was really kind of disfigured and really crotchety and had a hard time eating, had a hard time swallowing, and, you know, lots of slobbering and all that kind of stuff. And it was kind of gross. And after a while, the kid just kind of got fed up with it all. He said, I'm not going to do this anymore. So he goes to his mom and says, I'm done feeding grandpa. I hate it. You do it yourself. And the mom sat the boy down and said, I'm going to tell you a story I've never told you before. When you were a little boy, our house caught on fire. And it was bad. And grandpa thought that I had you and got you out. I thought grandpa had you and that he got you out. When we both got out, you were still in the house. And the fire was already huge. It was a total loss. The fire was really powerful. And grandpa ran back into the house to get you. And he saved you. And when he saved you, his whole head, his face, everything was burned, and he almost died. And that's why he's like he is. And she stopped the story. Do you think that boy's attitude maybe changed a little bit then? When he understood the perspective, when he understood what was going on? He says, oh, maybe it's an honor, maybe it's a privilege to feed my grandpa. Because we don't know what happened, but I wish it was always that easy too. Just hear a story and we're changed. But sometimes that happens where it's an attitude change that can really be the kicker to make it happen. So anyway, we got to figure out what we're thinking wrong and then let God change us, replacing the wrong thinking with correct thinking. A teenage girl once came to me, and we were just in a counseling situation. And she was one of those typical teenage girls that really struggled with her self-esteem, just with her care. And she just, you know, wanted people to like her. She felt she was ugly and nobody likes me and da-da-da. And she thought she just had to have a boyfriend. Had to have a boyfriend. Didn't matter who. Just had to be. And I kind of pushed that a little bit. You mean you would literally go out, hook up with this just scum dude, the scum guy, criminal, whatever, if he wanted to be your boyfriend? She says, yeah, absolutely, I would. I'm desperate. That's what she said. I'm desperate. And I just thought it and thought about that. What do I do? What do I say? And there, I prayed for her, but I knew it wasn't any. She was just at a point where she wasn't ready to even consider God's options. You know, a better way. She was so caught up in her lie, so caught up in Satan's schemes, his thinking, and she was thinking so wrong. She bought into the lie. And there was no magic prayer for her. She just needed to dedicate herself to that process of renewing her mind. So it will happen to you if and when you're ready to replace the lies. And you pray to God, change me. Help me to think like you think. And then you're on the road to healthy renovation. That's all I'm going to say about prayer right now. There's more to say about the power of prayer with this. But for now, can I just give you a couple of really practical ways that you can renew your mind? The two reasons why you should renew your mind and have the God thinking, kind of obvious. But the first one is you need that correct perspective in your life. You need that correct perspective. You know what perspective is? It's your viewpoint. It's your point of view, right? Look at this picture and answer some questions for me. This is a Civil War reenactment of Battle of Franklin. Union on the left, Confederates on the right. Look up on that upper left. Up there on that hill. I think there's some cannons up there from the smoke, it looks like. But there's also, I think, some officers up there. Why do you think there's some officers up on top of the hill? Say it again, Dave. It's safer. I love that. That's great. So they can see the whole battle, right? If you were one of the soldiers down below, are you seeing all that's happening all around? What is your mentality as a soldier right there on the field? Don't die. I don't want to die, right? I'm just trying to survive. I'm trying to just, you know, stay alive. It's either him or me. That's, you know, all you see is just right here, right? But up above, they can see what's happening in the battlefield. They can, you know, give flanks, flags, and or commands or whatever, and help because they see the whole battlefield. And we need that kind of perspective in our life. We need to see things in our life the way God sees them. We need that extra special perspective. Got to get out of our own mire and muck and see things the way God does. And so godly thinking, that's all about our perspective. All right? When we have godly perspective, all of a sudden you can realize that, for example, going back to watching internet porn, which I know a number of us struggle with, we realize, if from the correct perspective, that it really is a trap of Satan. We think there's no harm in this. No one's watching. No one cares. You know, no big deal, right? But we realize when we have that correct perspective, it's like a trap of Satan, and it keeps us in defeat. And it gives a incorrect assumption about sexuality. And it sure gives us a skewed image of women. Certainly not how God views women. And we, you know, and when we see it from God's perspective, we go, oh man, yeah, that's dangerous. We really should think about it differently. But when we're down right in the muck and the mire, it feels like, meh, oh well, let's just watch that again. You know, something like that, right? It's hard. When you see it from God's perspective and his thoughts, you can see what is really going on and you actually want to change. I have a new friend. His name is Joe. And Joe just got out of prison after 4 years because of drugs. That's all he ever did wrong. He's a meth head. But he needed to be in prison because God grabbed his life in those 4 years, and he became a strong believer, got through programs and all this kind of stuff, was helping in the church, got very involved. Anyway, so Joe's great. Got a good chance to meet him. But when Joe got out of prison, he was given a free Greyhound bus ticket to Portland. That was it. Good luck. Bus ticket to Portland bus station. Have you been down to the Portland bus, the Greyhound bus station down there? Wow. That was something. Well, he's out there. He waited 3 hours for what he thought his ride was going to be. And then I was able to go meet him after 3 hours. But he's down there. He was down there with all kinds of addicts, all kinds of scum people, just homeless people, just different people there. And he was just surrounded by it. And the whole time, I'm praying and others are praying, oh, God, please. Please don't let Joe be tempted to get right back into it after all that he's been through, right? You know that prayer, right? We're praying for someone, but please don't let him get into it again. Because, I mean, he could have probably got that stuff really cheap or even free with this group. So here, you're back into it? Oh, here, have a fresh taste. You know, it becomes so easy. But you know what Joe did? He says he had a completely different perspective on it. He kind of he saw it differently. All of a sudden, he saw how disgusting and gross these people were, and how sad it was. He felt so sorry for them. And even if he was a little bit tempted to be back on the drug, he just saw the reality of what it does to you. Saw these people without teeth and all this different stuff, and he goes, "I don't want anything to do with that. In fact, if anything, I want to try to share Christ with them." And the temptation was completely gone because he saw from the right perspective. Make sense? I hope it does. I hope you guys are connecting with what I'm trying to say here in this example. So that's important. Number one is that perspective. The second reason why we need to renew our minds is because you can develop an action plan that will help you literally to think differently. You can come up with a plan. And this is, I want to hear what God's plan is for my success. Prayer is part of it. I'm not going to include prayer in this just right now. But this is an awesome recipe for spiritual victory. And if you haven't developed an action plan for renewal, you will never change. You never will. You might have some temporary success, but you'll wind up getting frustrated because there's no long-term renovation. So here, well, before we get into the action plan, I want to remind you that in our disciple-making huddle groups, those of us who are in groups, we try really hard to answer three questions. And almost every huddle time, we try to answer these three questions. Any of you guys know what the questions are? What is God saying to me, number one? And whether it be through our discussion or whether if we're in a scripture, we're asking, God, what are you saying? And then secondly, we're asking, what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about what God's saying? And that's an important question. The third question is, how's it going? That's for the other people that are in the group. Because week by week by week, we're going to try to remember the issues, what's going on, what God said to you. And we're saying, hey, how's that going? Because we're there to try to support and help, okay? Number two question, that's what I'm talking about right now. It's an action plan. Okay, I know God's saying something. I feel conviction. I feel bad for what I'm doing. I want to change. I don't know how. How do I get the root of that sin out of me? How do I do this? How do I renew my mind? Okay, that's what we're talking about right here. Ready? Number one, you got to identify the lie. Number one, identify it. I don't know if you remember the Genesis process that we looked at in the past with the kind of a drug treatment thing. And one of the things that Michael Dye used to always say is, you got to name that sucker. You got to name that sucker. What is that lie that you're believing that will make you do some things that you know God's not happy with? But you believe a lie. You're believing something. You're thinking a different way. What is the lie? And thank the Lord, he doesn't just dump the whole bunch of lies on us. He says, let's work on this one lie. Almost every time, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Hey, Rob, I'd like to work on this. Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. That could use some work. Yeah, and that's how God works. But I got to name that sucker. You got to know the lie, okay? Number one. Number two, oh, you're going to love number two. You're just going to love it. Scripture memory and meditation. I know a lot of you. I hear you. So many people in our congregation say, I can't memorize scripture. It's so hard. I try. I can't do it. For some, it really is hard, and I acknowledge the difficulty of it. And it's true, the older you get, the harder it is to remember, to get into the long-term memory at least. But no excuses. If God is in this and the Holy Spirit's going to give us the power, remember what Philippians 2 said? He's going to give us the desires and the power to be able to succeed. And you memorize stuff all the time. Don't give me this crap. You memorize stuff all the time. If you're driving, you've got the laws of the DMV memorized, the Department of Transportation. You know, some of you even have CDLs, and there's special laws and stuff, and you know those. Why do you know them? You memorize them. You remember. Some of you are such sports fans, you know how much certain pro athletes make a year, or you know their contract extensions and all that kind of stuff, right? I mean, you already know the batting average of some of the baseball players for the season that just started this week. You already know their batting averages. Some people are that way. You know, you memorize stuff all the time. Why? Because it motivates you. You will memorize whatever you're motivated by. And so if you want to be motivated to learn Scripture, you can do it. I promise you can do it. And it needs to be a priority in your life. You have to be, there is no shortcuts here. Why? Because if you want to know how God thinks, you've got to be in God's Word. That's just how it works. That's how God set it up. We want to know how God thinks that He will change our thinking, and it's by memorizing Scripture and feeding on it, meditating on it. And you want to, here's the key, this may help motivate you. Memorizing specific scriptures to your issue is the key, right? Think about it. Let's just try it together. Let's try this. What if an issue is with greed? Greed, like we're just hungry for money. And we realize, man, if I just had more money, I'd be more powerful, or I'd be more secure, I'd be happier if I just had more money. And whenever anybody asks you You're not generous at all. You're like, oh, you're Scrooge-ish. You know, greed's an issue in your life. What's a Bible verse that maybe might help us to memorize? Anybody? Anything come to mind? I'm sorry, Dave. Okay. That's just convicting, but yeah, you're right. Well, that's sad. There you go. You can't love both God and... See, you have memorized some scripture, Willie. That's good. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these... God will take care of you, right? God will take care of you. Things like this, it changes our attitude. Don't be... There's actually a verse that says, don't be greedy, and don't be like this. And maybe those are the verses you need to focus on. You can do it for lots of things. If you're having trouble with your self-esteem, and you just feel like, nobody loves me, God doesn't love me, what are some verses we could throw at us? Truth of God. Psalm 139, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your ways are wonderful. I know that full well. I'm wonderfully made. You know, right? What's another one? Good. That's exactly the one I had around. Ephesians 2:10. You are God's workmanship. What's another word for workmanship? Masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. Don't listen to what other people say. Listen to what God says. You are God's master. He made us exactly the way we were supposed to be for a reason. Go figure. You know, I look at myself and go, man, how could you possibly use me? But it's just reality. He made me exactly the way he wanted, and I'm his masterpiece. And I'm created for good works in Christ. See, I can attack the bad thinking with scripture. After you've named the lie, you got to memorize and meditate on scripture. There is no shortcut around this, guys. It's absolutely vital. Don't overwhelm yourself. Don't dump it all. Don't drown yourself. Be very focused in your Bible memory and reading, and it will help you. It'll change your life. Some of you, maybe today, or a lot of us, now that we have smartphones, it's so easy to have access to the Bible and to verses that we think we don't need to memorize it anymore. And I just wanted to address that just for a second. I put up this verse here, Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. Just because you have access to verses that I can, because so often, not any of you, but all those who are gone, this is what they do. This is what they say to me often. I hear it in groups, like in home groups and other Bible studies. You go, I know this is in the Bible somewhere, and it says something like this. And they give something that's really not even close. And I go, where is that? You know, usually don't try to shame them, but I go, what? You know, and I've never heard that. I go, we need to find that verse. You know, what? But I hate it when people do that. See, I know it's there somewhere, but I don't know where. I don't know it, honestly. And it just, we've got to hide God's word in our heart. And it's not just so that we know it and we can say it out loud, but because that's the power of breaking sin in our lives, is having the word of God hidden in us, all right? So good, that's number two. So name the lie. Is that what I said, name the lie? Scripture memory. Meditation. And the last one is you got to let someone help you on the journey. We have too long as a congregation been too solo. We've been too individualistic, too independent. And we are trying and trying and trying to make ourselves a disciple-making congregation where we're going to get deep into it. And we're going to help each other because we're never meant to do this alone. It's not just between you, and it's not even just between you and God. God intended for a brother or sister to come alongside you and help you on this journey. And in AA, we call it a sponsor. In sports, we call it a coach, right? In churches, we call it a discipler or a mentor, someone that's above you that can be alongside, or just your fellow brother. You got to let somebody in. And part of that is you got to trust that person so you can be honest. Because, you know, some of the stuff that we need to confess is embarrassing. If the movie screen came up of our lives and our issues, our bad thinking, that all of a sudden just started being put on the screen, presented there in back of me, my stuff, I would never come back in the building ever again. I'd be so embarrassed. But to be able to share that with a couple of brothers and say, you know, this is what God wants to work on in my life right now. Would you help me in that journey? It's my issue. But would you help me? Would you be a part of that? Would you pray for me? Would you encourage me? Would you ask me how it's going? We need that. We need that. And all of a sudden, that square peg and the round circle, maybe they're not in conflict anymore. Maybe all of a sudden it starts to fit, that you can be free, that you can be victorious. Maybe biblical truth and thinking can come together and can help change you and renew your mind. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let God change your thinking. Boy, that's my prayer for you guys. I just want all my heart for you to be different. And he'll do it for you, but it takes work. I want to close with an old song from the 90s. It's just a great, in fact, I learned it in Spanish first, and then it was translated by Christ for the Nations. It's called Renew My Life. Renuévame, Señor. This is our prayer to close with today. I so wish that I could do an altar call right now and just instantly have you guys be healed of all this bad thinking in your heart. I wish I could do that. But I would be lying to you and lying to the Holy Spirit. It's a process that you and God need to take together to change your thinking. I do want to pray, let's pray for each other, that we would take the journey for true transformation. God, we come to you and we give you permission, Holy Spirit, to change our hearts, to renew us, deal with each issue in our life that just keeps us in defeat and in sickness. God, we confess that we think so much like the world. We're not that much different from, Mr. and Mrs. Pagan down the street. We're just not that much different, Lord. Change our hearts. Help us to fall in love with you like never before. Help us to go on this journey together with our brothers and sisters. And God, for those of us who think we can't memorize Scripture, would you help us? Help us to be able to do it. That would really make a difference. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, you guys.